Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two of the program, welcome inside. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Things getting interesting in the bubble in Orlando.
At TJ, there could be bubble trouble for the Portland Trailblazers.
You know, I am getting requests to do more Berman stuff every night. That's not
you know what?
Not
I saw
make,
that,
not
and I thought it was your burner. No, that's your burner account.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't go Berman. Trying to throw that out, that was some harmless, legit request. I want a full trace on that account.
The Berman
I saw
burner
the same
accounts.
Thing and said, what are you doing?
They're all Berman burner accounts. That's all they are. I'm running all the burner. Hey, you got to be able to do more Berman. Late in the third quarter. Portland, they need to win to get into the playoffs, into the 8-9 game. They trail Brooklyn right now, 102-92. Again, just under a minute and a half to go before the end of the third quarter. So the Blazers look like they're going to enter the fourth quarter. Could be a double-digit deficit. Damian Lillard, 25 points on the night. However, he's minus 12. The Nets with a 10-point lead. LeVert's got 28 to lead the way for them to go along with 9 assists. They're getting a lot off their bench. This is coming down to it for the final spot in the playoffs, and hey, the Lakers would be the happiest team in the world if the Blazers get knocked out, because even though the Suns are red hot, they would much rather potentially face them than anybody but the Blazers in the first round. For the Lakers, they should be okay. Yeah, do you really want to face the hottest team, the Suns, if they somehow get in? You don't really, but you take that over the Blazers. So a lot to watch here in the fourth quarter. Again, Brooklyn over Portland. Portland just hit a three to cut it to eight, 102-95. Final minute of the third quarter. But the other drama today in the bubble. Happy Thursday, by the way. I started the show by saying happy Friday. It is Thursday.
Okay.
It is Thursday.
And we're advancing the narrative.
Yes. It is Hurricanes beat the Bruins Day today. Da, 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 da. It is Thursday. And outside of what's going on with the playoffs and who's going in, we know who's not going, and that are the Pelicans and Zion Williamson. The NBA devising this bubble just to get Zion in the playoffs, and they couldn't be bothered to play him. He couldn't be bothered to stay in shape, and the Pelicans were the biggest disappointment that the bubble rest of the season had for the NBA. And today he was asked his exit interview for the season about what he needs to work on for next year. And of course, all the questions got around to your weight. What do you need to do? How do you got to get your body right? What are you going to do? Are you going to diet? What are all these things? And Zion answered the questions, but I don't know how much he really wanted to.
That's a conversation I'm going to have with my team. You know, sit down, see what they need me to do better, and then I can give you a better answer to that. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion, but I'm just going to stick to the opinions to the people closest to me and my team, and I'm just go from there.
All right, so here's the thing, and this is where I'm going to surprise you a bit on Zion Williamson. The only thing, and we've said this, the only thing that is going to hurt him and hurt his career is his weight, because that is going to be, then he's going to be more beholden to injuries. He's going to be more beholden to not being able to produce, running up and down the floor. His minutes will be cut. He will wind up being someone that's not as dominant as he should be. That's the only thing. He's going to be fine. All right. He is Shaquille O'Neal 20 years later. Getting close to 30 years later. But when remember Shaquille O'Neal at the beginning of his career, it was just like Zion. He came in with the same kind of hype, starting off in a smallish market, Orlando versus New Orleans. There was all the hype around him, and when we started to see him play, it was incredible. We were brought in by the natural on-court charisma that he has. He's a fun kid. He's a really good player, and we saw already what he can do on the offensive end. The guy's going to lead the league in field goal percentage every single year. He could shoot 60% from the field every year because he is just that devastating close to the basket. But what was the deal with Shaquille O'Neal when he came in? He was a big kid. He liked to have fun. Did he really take the game seriously enough? These are all the criticisms of Shaquille O'Neal. He's got to take the game a little bit more serious. Oh, he's doing movies. He's doing Kazam. He likes to play a lot of jokes, likes to joke around. Is he going to really be that player? And what happened? After a few years, he knew that my legacy is important to me, so I'm going to sign with the Lakers, take things a little bit more seriously, and I go and I win titles. And he won 3 titles in a row, and he won 4 overall, became one of the best centers in the history of the NBA, certainly the best that I've seen in the past 25 years. This is the same path that Zion's on. He's a 19-year-old kid, and he's thrust into the NBA, and is he doing everything that he should be? No, but this is a 19-year-old kid that's not taking care of his weight, not figuring things out the way. This is not a 30-year-old guy where you're going, dude, you got to know better, man. We're cutting our ties with you. You're done. You got to know better. This is a 19-year-old kid that is just learning the ropes. Would you have liked him to take this a little bit more seriously? Sure, but everybody matures at their own rate, and that's what's going to happen with Zion. As he gets into the league and as he plays a little bit more, he's going to realize, I have to watch my weight. I got to stay on a program. Teams are going to have people surrounding me and watching me, making sure that I do what they need me to do to be able to succeed. And he'll mature and he'll be a great player. Right? He wants to be a star in the NBA. I mean, it's not like you don't know I could take or leave this. He's on the same path as Shaq, and Shaq figured it out. Zion's going to figure it out. As long as he can figure out his weight, he'll figure it out. He'll be a dominant player in the NBA for at least a decade. Now, because he's a bigger kid and he's going to be a bigger player, will his prime be a little bit shorter? Yes, he's not going to be a 15, 17-year guy in the NBA going, boy, you're watching this guy play great when he's 38 years old. His prime may go till he's 33, 34, and then you see a drop off just because bigger guys break down faster. But he's still going to be that dominant type player well into his early 30s. He will figure it out. Everything is going to be fine. I'm not worried about Zion.
Yeah, I'm not terribly concerned about it. I mean, this is a strange circumstance in a million ways, trying to start, stop, start again. Then you get out of the bubble and you're inactivated and deactivated to your hotel room. And as much as we watched guys put up clips of them walking marathons in their hotel rooms or whatever the hell else they've been trying to purport that they were doing physically, you know, he's a guy that's predisposed to put on some weight. So he's got to be careful, because remember what Shaq became those final couple of years and the toll that it took on his body, right? When we watched the foot and arch issues for years and just go and take a timeline, right? We could take from all the vagabond experience of the last 5-6 years with all the different jerseys. They had to keep letting those jerseys out. And nobody was a bigger Shaq fan than me. And I think oftentimes his skill and what he was able to do gets disrespected. You know, just saying, he was a big guy and he took advantage. Like, no, he had great footwork. A lot of raw power, obviously. You wish he'd develop some touch at the free throw line, but those little floaters and everything, you know, he had tremendous skill and would get up and down the court until, well, he couldn't get up and down the court anymore. So, and some choices along the way there, and those are well chronicled in terms of his offseason and, you know, messing up his offseason, kind of like Scottie Pippen in The Last Dance, right?
Right.
To draw that parallel where you're not going to do it. But for Zion Williamson, you see a motivated guy. You know, we have had opportunity. You know, we talked to Jen Hale and our friends there watching his every game and performance and seeing the growth and how maturely he's handled a lot of this. And you could tell he wanted to go off on people because, let's face it, they all have rabbit ears. And what have you heard since you showed up on the Duke campus? A little doughy. Little big, that's going to be a problem. And so, yeah, he hears it, and now it's time to just get to work, and you get a full season and training camp and everything else in without this interruption, you know, you're playing. Now, you could also look at it saying, well, he shouldn't have hit a rookie wall because he missed time to start the season and even with the stop. So we're going to have to look at his metabolism and obviously training table and his workouts and all, but anybody that watched him play and thought anything other than this kid's going to be special and to cherish it as long as you can. It's kind of like we talk about in the NFL with Cam Newton and whatever Cam is here in his second act. For a while, it was, let's see what he can do. Running the ball, Never the greatest in terms of completion percentage, but every play was an adventure, and you saw some ridiculous athleticism with his 100-plus carries each year. So it's, why would I change it? Why I defended Harbaugh last year when asked about running Lamar Jackson. It's like, you know, you take advantage of the guy's skill. That's what they did with Shaquille O'Neal, and that's what you're going to do with Zion Williamson, so long as his body can hold up. And so they're going to have to be smart about it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So that if Zion is Shaq, I'll tell you who Damian Lillard's going to wind up being. As Portland now trails the Nets by 4 with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Again, Portland's got a win to get in the 8-9 game. So Damian Lillard, who is locked in with the Blazers for the next few years, and clearly he's hit a new level of stardom here in the bubble. His 61-point game, and he's been the story so far. He'll wind up being the bubble MVP, I'm sure. Which
him
I think
and Devin
is kind
Booker,
of,
right?
Yeah, well, I think I'd give it to Lillard. I think Lillard had the one big signature win. Listen, in an 8-game season that you're going to need to win an MVP on, you got to have a signature game, and he's got the big signature game with 61 points. So I got to give it to him there. But where he is at in his career right now, okay, Damian Lillard, and I've talked many times before about how, boy, I really like to see him play somewhere where he's got a real chance to win the title. He's going to end up being Reggie Miller. He's going to be Reggie Miller 20 years later, who stayed his entire career with Indiana, and he sniffed the finals once. He was a playoff team a lot, and he was a great scorer, and boy, he was a highlight reel guy, and he had great moments in his career that we remember that are awesome. His 85 points in 4 seconds against the Knicks, it was but Reggie Miller was never on a team where they were a yearly threat to get to the finals and win it. They were a really good team, but they played in a small market and they fell short. And that's kind of where Lillard is. He's in Portland where, when I say they're dangerous, yeah, could they upset the Lakers in the first round? Sure. But 8 seeds don't run all the way to the NBA championship. They don't do it. You play to the level of how good you are, and you get in as an 8 seed. It's great that they're getting in here now, and you can pull an upset or two, but you don't get all the way to the finals and win. Last year, they got to the Western Conference Finals. That may wind up being as far as Lillard gets. Remember, he's 30 now. He's been in the league for 8 years. He likes staying in Portland, which is great. You know, he's very comfortable. He loves the support staff he has there, and that's terrific. And he wants to be this guy, and that's who he's going to wind up being. He'll wind up being Reggie Miller. And, you know, you look back a year and go, boy, I had a couple of chances to get close to it, but did I really have a chance to really get that NBA title, win at least one? No, and he'll wind up saying, boy, Lillard was great, but he's Reggie Miller or he's John Stockton. More so Miller because of being the scorer and having the big moments that you remember in his career. And that's kind of where Lillard is going to wind up as he plays out the rest of his stardom in the NBA.
Well, I mean, you can just go through the whole run of guys that didn't get to win a title with Jordan running around, huh? Or Akeem the Dream. Here's your list of Hall of Famers a mile long.
It's going to be, when did you come up? Well, I came up, when I came up all my years, we had the Warriors, and I was up against LeBron. So, I mean, that's what it's going to be for him. But really in the West, because LeBron's only been in the West for a couple of years, how is he going to get past the Golden State Warriors when they started, when they hired Steve Kerr, and suddenly there they go. They're going to finals every year. And by the time Lillard was old enough to start carrying a team when you're 24, 25, well, guess what? You have a super team to try to get through, and you're not getting a super team in Portland. The free agents aren't coming there. And look, Melo is only there because nobody else wanted him. It was his last chance hotel.
Yeah, it's a happy accident the way that's working.
That was it. You could stop at this hotel, or you got to drive another 500 miles. You're running out of gas. I'll stop at this hotel. That's the only way they got Melo. So again, that's why Portland's a lot like Indiana was in the 90s, where they had some talent. You put a small market, good team together, but they were never really good enough to be great. And that's where you're going to wind up seeing him slotted as his career goes.
No, it's a good comparison. He's not got the playoff craziness, but the run he's had here in the bubble certainly puts him on next level, not to mention fighting with talk show hosts. We'll just leave that where it is. And everything else that's gone on the last couple of weeks, you know, people putting some respect on his name in a bit of a different way. I mean, they even had a big shoe sale because of that 61. Sold a bunch of Dame footwear over the last 48 hours based on that. But, yeah, I like the Reggie Miller comparison. I think that'll work. You can go, if you wanted to push him back a little bit, a guy who's shown brightly, just because I want to get you agitated. You know, John Starks for like 3 years with the Knicks.
Yeah, thanks.
Where you were waiting for everything to come together there, and then, well, no, it didn't.
Thanks for that, jerk. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I just thought I'd throw that out there to, let you have some fond memories of when your team was relevant.
Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strain, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. Because let's face it, nobody wants to stink. Just a real quick thing to tell you. We got Rick Bucher coming up next. All the biggest news in the NBA. The Mookie Betts Index tonight, he is going to be worth quite a lot of money towards the Los Angeles Dodgers with the night he's having. 3-for-3, 4 runs scored, 5 RBI for Mookie as they are pasting the Padres 11-2. This is some kind of day for Mookie Betts. 3-for-3, 4 runs, 5 RBIs. Got that batting average up now over 300. So he's going to be worth a pretty penny tonight. But coming up next, Rick Bucher stops by. Who are the favorites now? Who does he like in the 8-9 games? What is he seeing moving on in the bubble? What kind of obstacles our team's going to have to overcome as we're getting to the real season? Keep it right here. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, and we are live right now in the bubble in Orlando. Basically, everybody just rolled over for the teams trying to get into the 8-9 game in the West, except for the Brooklyn Nets. Grizzlies thumped the Bucks, who play without Giannis for a suspension. No trouble as they win 119-106. They're in the 8-9 play-in game. The Jazz beat the Spurs, but the Spurs were eliminated already. Their 22-year run is at an end. The Suns dumped the Mavericks 128-102. They weren't playing their guys. Luka Doncic only plays 13 minutes. So the Suns, they won. They needed the Blazers to lose to the Nets tonight in order to get in the playoffs. The Blazers, the best team. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. Under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter in the bubble, and the Nets lead the Blazers 120-117. LeBron James right now saying, oh my God, Kyrie, if you can urge your team on from far away, I will tell the world the earth is flat, and they'll be so excited. Joining us now on the hotline, that was Break It All Down. Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA insider extraordinaire, who actually does have, I think, 800 words coming on the actual shape of the earth. And he said it's actually shaped like a basketball with the lines on the earth just like the lines in a basketball and the big Spalding logo across the middle. It is friend of the show, Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening?
I actually don't have any time to write. I'm fighting my daughter who doesn't care that I'm on the radio. She's like, Dad, turn it up. Turn the TV up. I'm like, I'm about to do a radio hit. Could you wait? She's like, go in the other room then.
What are you guys watching? What's on TV on Thursday night?
Full House.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Like the
little John Stamos.
The reboot or the original?
The original, of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. No, we are my son is a huge Blazers fan, Damian Lillard fan, so we are locked in. In fact, he's in a room. He closed himself into a room someplace and is watching by himself. He didn't want to be disturbed.
So wait a minute. So who's a bigger fan, your son with Damian Lillard or your daughter for John Stamos?
Actually, that whole thing with Full House, no. Who's your favorite player? DeMar DeRozan is her favorite player.
Oh, well, tell her I'm sorry about today.
Yeah. She's I don't think she's even aware that they're already out. She's been working on her own game.
All right, so as you continue to fight for the television in your house, look, we talked about the Blazers and the trouble that they're in right now with Brooklyn, but really this is all about who winds up coming out of 8-9, who the Lakers wind up facing. I've said, listen, even though the Suns are hot, they'll still take care of the Suns. The Blazers are a bit of a different animal. Where are you on the team that could pose the most problems for the Lakers in the first round?
Honestly, I think that the Suns could give them as much trouble as the Blazers. I just feel like Yes, the Blazers are much more experienced. The Suns are not. But this is the distinction with the bubble, and we're seeing it. You know, if you wonder why we're seeing so many role players step up and have big games, I think the lack of a crowd and this being more of a AAU tournament atmosphere than the typical NBA atmosphere is one of the reasons that the younger guys are actually more familiar playing this tournament style, not having to travel, not having just like all the pressures that normally come with being in end of the season. And let's face it, this seeding is sort of it's pre-playoff, but there's a lot of playoff atmosphere. Certainly this game is being played like it. So I think that makes a distinction. And I'm watching the Suns, like, it's not a mirage. It's not like just Devin Booker. When I was putting together my all bubble team, you know, I wanted to credit the Suns, but they've just got multiple guys playing so well that other than Devin Booker, it was really hard for me to pick. I mean, Darius Saric, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton, Ricky Rubio, they're getting contributions from a lot of different places, and I think that the best teams and the teams that are going to wind up standing at the end are the teams that are built like that. You have to have a star, and they certainly have it in Devin Booker. But I believe to survive under these circumstances, you need to have depth. And what I'm seeing is that experience is less of a factor than maybe we normally believe it is under these circumstances.
Well, it's just like the fact, Rick, and we've talked about in the past, that you just have these teams that looked at it kind of like college football teams with a bowl season, going, all right, we got a month of practices, let's make the most of it. And so you let them into this 22-team grid, and the young guys just went out and played, right? They're not worried about protecting anything. They're not looking at home. It's like, if we've got to do this for whatever the commitment is, go in and play hard. And now you've got the final game of the night actually having meaning in all of this.
Yeah, and keep in mind this too. Like, the young guys being in the bubble and being away from their families and their kids and all that stuff doesn't affect them quite the same way. As I just know, talking to players who have families or have young kids, like, that was it put them in a weird headspace because, you know, the NBA and everyone around them is bending over backwards to keep them COVID-free, virus-free. And meanwhile, their family's out there, and they're not there to sort of take the same precautions with them. It made them, you know, that's weighed heavy on certain guys. And not to say that the younger guys don't have family that they're concerned about, but it's a little bit different. So I think that may be a factor here, too. And look, the Suns certainly took advantage of the fact that nobody was expecting anything from them, and they got on a roll and they got it going, and they are just so full of confidence now. I mean, every guy, Cameron Payne, is just pulling up and draining threes. That can happen, but the ability to stifle that confidence generally happens when you get on the road and you get in front of a hostile crowd and you miss a couple, and now you're hesitating and you're hesitant to take that shot, and that's just not that type of atmosphere doesn't exist in the bubble.
NBA insider Rick Bucher with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Now, the other domino that fell today is the San Antonio Spurs, by virtue of how the games went. They fall to the Jazz, but it didn't matter. They were already eliminated. For the first time in 22 years, they missed the playoffs. Greg Popovich said after the game, look, I can't dwell on this. We're moving on, which is a typical Pop thing to say. But Rick, I say that to you. First time in 22 years the Spurs missed the playoffs. What comes to your mind, the first thing you want to say when you look back at this incredible run the Spurs had?
It's about damn time. Jesus, am I tired of that.
You sound like you bet against them to make the playoffs every year. No, I'm doubling down. This year they're not going to make it.
He's back to
even. Look, the longevity of it is really amazing, and it's a testament to the fact that the Spurs, I mean, look, the system is designed to prevent teams from staying on top or being a playoff team that long, that there's more of a change, and And so the Spurs defied that, and it's probably they defied it twice because they are a small market team, and so you're certainly not supposed to be that viable for that long. But it speaks to the longevity of Greg Popovich. It speaks to consistency and having a system and really knowing what type of players are going to fit into it. And so they go out and they get certain guys who are willing to be coached and will play within that system. And what it allows them to do is to be to play their A game more nights than not during the regular season. Now, what we've seen for the last couple of years is it can always be a good regular season team, a playoff-worthy regular season team, but then they have not had the stars to take them to that next level since Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili left. And that's understandable, but they've made the best out of it. And I think actually the thing that I probably I'm happy about the most is that Pop has got past the death of his wife, which certainly meant a lot to him, you know, obviously rocked him. And there was a time where I talked to him and I know that he was thinking that, you know, why should I do this anymore? What should I do? And it sounds like he has been rejuvenated, that he's finding basketball as, you know, the salvation and a refuge and a cause for him to continue on and that he's getting some joy out of it, even if Tim and the guys that he was around for a long time are not there. So that's what I am really happy to see with him, is that it has meaning for him and that he's coming back. And certainly for him, it's not about making the playoffs or doing whatever. It's just getting to work and teach the game and coach guys.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios. On the hotline with us, Bleacher Report senior writer, FS1 analyst. You can catch him on Speak for Yourself during the week, the Bucher and Friends podcast, and each and every week with us here on the show. Friend of the show, Rick Bucher, RICBUCHER, on Twitter is where you find him. And as we look at the bubble coming to an end, we say it's a success in many ways, the putting up the big signs about zero positive tests and all of this as we move forward. Are you ready to make your finals prediction? Are we seeing any chaos here? I know, you know, you've got your Raptors jersey on as we talk to you. but on the west side of thing, are we looking for some chaos?
Well, I honestly believe in the big picture, I believe in the teams, as I said, that have the depth and the versatility. And that's why I'm just struggling to believe that the Lakers, particularly the way they look, I know that everybody is buying into this, you know, LeBron shuts it down and then gets it going and there's playoff LeBron. This is a different animal. I mean, we're talking about a 4-month layoff and we're talking about, you know, 5 or 6 guys that are 30, you know, in their 30s or older, trying to crank up that engine again, and a team that lost Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, and that was really greater than the sum of its parts because it was able to utilize all of its parts. I'm not a believer that they're going to suddenly flip this big switch. I don't think they have the talent overall to be able to do it. So, if the Lakers not getting to the conference finals is upsetting the cart, then yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest expectation, is that that is not going to happen. You know, I see somebody stopping them along the way because they don't have the requisite ability under these circumstances. And it's why I still believe in the Clippers more than anybody, because we haven't seen them at full strength, but they have so much depth and versatility. They have the necessary size. And teams like, you know, we've seen it with the Rockets, we've seen it with the Sixers. There are going to be injuries, and there are going to be more coming. And you're going to have to be able to survive, 4 or 5 games, a week or two or more, potentially, without a very good player. And are they capable, you know, who's capable of doing that? You can go down the roster and find those teams that are or aren't.
So there it is, Rick Bucher's official pick, the Knicks over the Clippers in the NBA Finals. You heard it here first, picking a gentleman's sweep. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much for stopping by. We will talk to you next week as the playoffs are underway. We're going to talk playoff basketball in August with you for the next month.
How about that? I'm ready.
Madness.
All Let's right, tell it. Your daughter she can go watch Full House again. Oh, well, he's gone. Well, apparently.
He's gone.
I don't know that that's going to be a fun conversation. I'm doing a hit on the radio, and you're asking me about Full House? Come on, man.
I'm out.
Well, it was a very special episode of Full House.
It's a very – next on a very special Blossom. Oh, Rick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and my son just came running into the room.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are asking me a question, and I'm watching Caris LeVert put up a shot that would either ruin my family for the next umpteen days or – make things simpatico. So that's why you didn't get a sign off from me. My future right on the cusp. And by the way, let's pour one out for the Phoenix Suns. They go 8-0, and they don't get to play. It is. I mean, ultimately, if things were fair, this and how fun would that be to watch the Suns and the Blazers go at it right now? Oh my goodness, that would be fun. But. Hey, congratulations to the Blazers, and we'll see. I've Ja Morant was my rookie of the year and my rookie in the bubble. I just don't know that they have enough at this point to ultimately get it done. I give them great kudos to them, the fact that they eked one out today in order just to get to the play-in game.
All right, is your son still right there with you?
Matt.
Bring him in. We're going to give him his radio debut. I want him to tell us and tell everybody. We're on over 400 stations coast to coast. How did the game with Portland and Brooklyn come down to it? What happened the last 30 seconds?
Matt, you're on the radio. Tell him again what he's got to give you.
Matt, what happened the last 30? Tell the world. No one else knows yet. Tell everybody how the last 30 seconds of the game went down. Just don't curse.
The last 30 seconds of the Trailblazer game?
Yeah, what happened?
That was crazy. Caris LeVert kept driving. He took a terrible shot at the end. But before that, he was going at Gary Trent Jr. because Gary Trent Jr. had 5 fouls. And then they switched McCollum onto him. And he just kept getting fouled. He hit free throws.
You said the last 20 seconds, not the last 30 minutes.
That's the last 30 seconds. It was all free throws.
And then what happened in the final seconds?
Three.
What about the final seconds?
3. Caris LeVert took a terrible shot. McCollum had great defense. And the Blazers win.
You are a future sports talk radio host, Matt.
He really channeled nice. You perfectly, Rick. That was like when you were saying Zion was terrible defensively. He just channeled that energy.
Keep in mind, he's out of his mind right now.
Caris LeVert took
a
terrible shot.
I'm amazed that he could string sentences together right now.
Oh, the Bucher household. Hey, Matt's going to be a star. He just he's going to be a sports talk radio host. Right away when he can say somebody took a terrible shot, that's awesome. You'll be in this business in 5 years.
No, I mean, how is that? Caris LeVert has, like, the game to keep the Nets in it, and all he wants to talk about is he took a terrible shot at the end.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. Sports talk radio at its finest.
Well, that's it, right? Carrying to get into it, and then he plays, someone would say hero ball because he didn't even look at his teammates in that final set. I'm taking the last shot.
Oh, boy. Great stuff. Great stuff for the Bucher family, both Rick and Matt.
That's awesome.
Bucher. Rick, thanks a bunch, buddy. Thanks so much, Matt.
You
appreciate you coming on and telling us. We'll talk to you.
See you, Rick.
You got it. All right.
Oh, we got to use that drop. Caris LeVert took a terrible shot. Tyshirt turned that into a drop for us for the rest of the night so we can check in case anybody is just tuning in new and doesn't know how the game ended.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Now, we're going to have more detail on the big goings-on in the NBA bubble tonight in Orlando throughout the show. But in case you're just tuning in and you missed Matt Bucher, Rick Bucher's son, giving us the play-by-play of the end of the Blazers-Nets game, which was Caris LeVert, who had an incredible game, took a horrible shot with a couple of seconds left. It missed. Portland escapes by a point. They move into the 8-9 game where they will play the Memphis Grizzlies, and the winner of that series, because it could be as many as two games, will move on to play the Lakers, 134-133 the final. Now, this needs to be said because while we're wrapped up in this drama, I think we're going to understand that there's a much bigger thing at stake here, is that right now you think about tonight in the NBA and Portland owns the news cycle, and so do the Phoenix Suns, because this is an NBA team that really came a long way in a very short time, going undefeated in the bubble and not making the playoffs. I mean, think about how insane that is. They go undefeated and they don't make the playoffs. I mean, that seems impossible, but they were a great story. The Blazers are a great story. It's even, you could say, great because of the amount of time we spent talking on it. Zion and the Pelicans and the failure they had. They drove the storyline for that. Giannis and the headbutt. NBA in the bubble on a scale of 1 to 10, because now step back and think, the NBA had to put on 8 games in a pandemic, not knowing how this was going to go. We're going to build a bubble in Orlando and players are going to play. We're going to test them. We're going to not allow them to have people visiting. We're going to try to play the rest of the season and see how it goes. That is so daunting. Think about where we were a few weeks ago. And if you're talking about on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is the greatest thing you could possibly have and 1 is like baseball, NBA in the bubble is like a 50. Think about how great this has been since they had the restart. No positive COVID-19 tests. We barely talked about it. It's all been about what's going on the floor. So many storylines were wrapped up in it all. We've had heroes. We've had last gasp wins. We've had drama. We've had everything we would need at the end of an NBA season. This has been such an unbelievable success, and a success that, frankly, we need. We need some kind of big-time sports success to hang our hat on a little bit here, and the NBA in the bubble gave it to us. And just, you know, we'll get into the specifics of everything going on throughout the show, because that's a big deal, too. But this is really something. This success needs to be celebrated.
No, in so many ways. I mean, we've trumpeted all the way through. Fight Island was kind of a novel, fun concept, but the whole time it's like, all right, well, let's watch them pull it off. WWE still playing their shows and keeping the programming rolling. We saw the individual sports. You saw some crowds come back to NASCAR, but then the bubble was pushed out, and it's like, wow, that's a long ways of planning, and the money, right, $150 million plus some make goods to the area around Orlando that they pushed out. And as it's been put forward, we've got zero positive tests. And, you know, always the skeptic that I am is like, I'd like reports. Just like the PSI tests I'm still waiting on from the National Football League post-deflating. But you know what? They pulled it off. Teams showed up, and whatever caused guys to miss a game here and there, I don't care. We're ready, and we have a playoff grid. We've had great, fantastic action, pillar to post, all of these great storylines and new stars that people wouldn't have paid attention to, right? The Suns are suddenly a big deal, and Devin Booker are getting some run, and Michael Porter Jr., all this stuff building towards the playoffs. It's great.
I'm not being syrupy. This is a story we all need and we all deserve, and we can hang our hat on this NBA, the end of the... We still have another day to go, but the drama was tonight, and the playoffs are coming up this weekend. It has been some kind of achievement for the NBA. We got big news out of Major League Baseball next on Fox.